I computer like spam and cookies and peanut butter and duct tape and high-grade plastics and those cute little banana peppers that look like peanuts.
So what's the difference between Windows XP and Windows XP Home and Windows XP Pro? Should you consider upgrading to Windows XP if you have an older version? Do you know how to use a system restore in Windows XP or the Zip utility or the Task Manager? How to password protect your folders and encrypt your files or change Windows XP to look like the old Windows? Do you know any of these things?
Did you even know there was a Zip utility already built in?
All of these things and more are available to you as resources at our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section and you'll see today's resources as well as previous shows. You can learn more about, we talked about a bunch of the Google features last week. The very exciting topic of the end-user license agreements.
That actually turned out to be more
educational than anything else.
Yeah, I think so. People got into that.
So check all that out, datadoctors.com. Shall we go back to the phones here, or where are we at?
We can jump
Wait, hold on. Windows Vista.
Oh, yeah, you said we were going to talk about it. I don't know what you're going to talk about.
Windows Vista is slated to come out sometime, hold your breath, towards the end of 06. They've been talking about it and pounding the drum and really trying to get people excited about it for a while, but it's not going to be out for a while.
They're shooting to try to get it out just before the holiday season next year.
And they may or may not. So then the question becomes, well, how does that impact me? Should I wait? I mean, we've already had lots of people email in and say, I heard there's a new version of Windows coming out. Should I wait to buy my next computer for that new version?
If you're going to wait for the next new anything, whether it's a new processor or some new technology or some new operating system, whatever it is, you're going to be waiting forever because there will always be a next one on the horizon that's just a little bit out of reach but close enough to see, and you'll just keep waiting forever.
And the reality, since this one is so far away, you absolutely have no reason to wait. Frankly, you don't want to be one of the first million to buy the new version of Windows. You know what I mean? Pioneers get arrows. Right, Jeff?
That's correct, sir.
We don't need that. Right? Well, our job is to protect you, so stay away from the bleeding edge. Let those hardcore techno types get out there because they're real proud of the fact. In fact, most of them have already downloaded the beta versions, and you know they're real proud about all this stuff, and they know this stuff, and they have to know about it before the common person, or else their ego it gets deflated. That's fine.
Well, otherwise they'd be a common person too.
Oh yeah.
Instead of a whatever.
We kind of think along the lines of, you know, these computers are supposed to perform a function for us. So I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it feels like. As long as it gets the job done.
Consistently.
Consistently.
Right.
Or as consistent as we can expect it to. So if you're one of those that have wondered, well, what should I do about Windows Vista? Put it out of your mind. Forget about it, as our friends in Jersey would say. By the way, we had somebody call in and wanted to know when the Atlanta stores were starting to open. When's the first store slated to open, Mr. Burnett?
We are currently pushing hard forward, and we're looking at probably December 1st in the Buckhead area, and that will be in the Disco Kroger Shopping Center for all you locals. So,
yeah.
Come on out. And
for everybody in TCPIP,
yeah,
that's correct.
Get up to speed.
Right. It's Buckhead's is it one county over from SGI?
Yeah, and a little south, if you get on the freeway, the TCIP freeway.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think people are going to think you're really actually from Georgia because you talk like us.
Oh, come on, y'all.
There we go.
Well, let's see if we can help Peter by talking more gooder about his Toshiba.
Yes, I have Outlook, and I have all of my names and addresses in the contacts section of that, and I just want to back them up. And what I'm wondering is, what I've done already is I've been able to make a listing of them. It's just a text listing, but I've also been able to copy, I guess they call them V-cards, to Word. And I guess my question is, what I'd like to do is just have a file that if I lost it on the computer or wanted to put it on another computer, I could just move the file from, say, a external hard drive into the new computer. And I can't find out how to do that anywhere.
Yeah, there's actually a number of different ways that you can do that. First of all, is this the full-blown Microsoft Outlook, not Outlook Express, right?
It's full-blown Outlook.
Okay. Outlook, whether it's a good idea or not, Outlook contains everything in one actual physical file.
If you just care about the contacts, you could go under File and then Export, and then you kind of walk through a little wizard and get the contacts out. But something that might be a better choice than that is everything, as Ken was alluding to, is in one single file that's generally called by default outlook.pst. Now, where that file is stored is different for different people on different machines with different operating systems, but the easiest thing to do is to use the search tool built into Windows, and you get that by clicking on File, or excuse me, Start, then Search, and you can just type in outlook.pst.
Or asterisk.pst, just in case yours is named something different.
Even better idea.
Which tells it to look for all files that have the PST extension.
And you might want to click on the advanced options down below and make sure you tell it to search in hidden files and folders, because sometimes it's in a place where, by default, it won't find it. But you click on that search, then let it go out and find the PST file, and then you can just simply take that and
copy
and paste it, or drag and drop it onto whatever media, depending on the size of it, and be able to move forward. And you'll have a complete backup of everything, not just your contacts, but all the emails, all the folders, everything that's in there.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's kind of like, I've been able to do that with iTunes with music, but I had an idea that you could do this in Outlook, but to try to figure out how to do it was my problem.
Well, Peter, is that the only thing on your computer you care about?
No, I have a lot of pictures, too, and I also save those to CDs and hard drives.
You may want to consider, we run into this all the time with our customers, and the problem is customers all want to back up. There's two main problems. They don't know how to back up, and even if they did, they don't know where their data is.
Well, and actually a bigger problem is it's always, well, tomorrow I'll do it, because it takes a lot of time and it's kind of a pain. And
not our customers, no.
So I'll do it tomorrow.
We don't have any procrastinators.
No.
I was going to also ask you, since you mentioned what else I have on my computer, and I do have a lot of pictures, what's your feeling about the supposedly long life gold CDs where you can keep pictures for 300 years? So
yeah.
When we get to be 300 years old, we can still look at them.
Could I interest you in some swampland in some Georgia or Florida?
Florida. New Orleans.
No, they have swampland in Georgia now, don't they?
Yeah, I think.
Don't they, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely.
Didn't they import it or something?
Well, there's some that creeped over from Florida.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can help Peter with his backup question first, and then talk about the 100-year, 300-year gold CDs.
Consider this as a possible solution. This is what we've come up with for our customers. We have a product called the Data Vault that basically looks at your machine and makes an exact copy of the entire system, either every night, every week, so that you don't have to remember where your stuff is. You don't have to remember to back up. It's on a scheduler. And more importantly, when your hard drive crashes, you can easily get your machine back up and running, because all you have to do is replace the drive and restore the image. See, if you just back up your PST file and just your pictures, in order to get back up and running when your hard drive crashes, you have to reload Windows from scratch. You have to update all the security updates. You got to reestablish all your network connections. You got to reinstall all your programs. You have to put your printer drivers back in, your scanner drivers, all your digital camera stuff. Blah, 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 blah. And then
what about the cute picture of my puppy in the background?
And then you can restore those files that you backed up some years ago or what have you. So if you get a chance, you might want to visit our website or visit any of the stores. I can show you what this product looks like. It's the best thing that we could come up with, because we know our customers are not, even we show them, here's how you back up to CDs, they don't do it.
What's it called one more time?
The Data Vault.
And I know there's a couple people out there that are technical people that are saying, well, that's kind of wasteful to back up all that stuff. You're backing up things that don't need to be backed up. That's true for you, technical people. But for everybody else, we need something simple.
For the average Joe, we had to look at what can we do that our customers can be successful with, and that's what we came up with. So, and it, you know, the cost on it depends on the size of a drive you need, and with our particular solution, it includes the disaster recovery, so that we actually help you get back up and running as part of that service and product that you're looking at. So,
well, it includes installation setup and making sure you understand how to use it, of course.
So, yeah.
All the information's on the website.
Well, I'm trying to think if we have a direct link to that or not. If you,
I mean your website.
Yeah, if you go to datadoctors.com/datavault.
You're taking a guess there, aren't you?
I am taking a guess.
you're gonna try this live while we're stalling for time.
You know what?
Let's talk about.
You know what?
We can talk, because he had another question about those CDs and putting stuff on CDs, and they thought that if you just go buy a generic regular CD. Well, that stuff may or may not be there a couple years from now, and people don't always realize that. But what about these cool gold CDs and archiving things forever, 300 years, as it were?
Right.
The real issue here is how the CD is created. And when you go out and buy a commercial CD, those CDs are produced on what's called a press. And it's expensive equipment that gets the information on there, kind of like the old days with records where there's grooves, but instead it's it actually creates these pits and valleys. But anyway, the process ensures a very, very long life, and it ensures very, very exact data. With our CD burners, which is kind of a cheap way to get that same thing done, that's not generally the case, and CDs aren't going to last that long, and I don't really think whatever material you're going to make those things out of, it doesn't change the inherent problem, which is we have these cheap little lasers in our computers that are trying to etch out CDs, and they don't do a very good job of that. And those CDs really aren't going to last a real, real long time. I don't think, no matter what you do, unless you have some kind of press, which you and I are never going to have, at least in the foreseeable future.
The problem is you can't look at blank media and know whether it's going to really last that long. And things like heat and moisture, and there's all kinds of things that can degrade that. So if you're going to use CD or DVD as a backup for or archiving of pictures or movies or those kinds of things, do yourself a favor and make a couple copies if they're really important. Keep one of them in a really secure, dry place, like a safety deposit box, that kind of thing.
So dashboard of your car.
What about external hard drives? Are they any better than CDs?
Well, they're larger and they're more accessible, but
I mean for stability.
Well, as far as archiving, no.
They're different. It's magnetic, so there's lots of things that can cause that to have a problem. Over time, they will degrade.
Well, I'm saying hard drives for the purposes of trying to keep something for 300 years. That's not a good solution. So the best we have for archiving, and that's where you're taking copies and putting them somewhere to store. CDs and DVDs are pretty much your best bet. Just go ahead and make multiple copies just if it's really important stuff.
I see.
And then go back and check them from time to time to make sure.
And every few years, maybe replace them.
Well, maybe 100 years from now, you make a copy of your copy, right?
I'd probably go back.
And that gets another 100 years.
I'd go back a couple years, maybe.
Hey, if you guys are wrong in 100 years, I'm going to tell you.
Come on down!
We invite that. We'll remember this conversation, too, I'm sure,
you know,
Peter.
At some point, when we get the nerve to do it, we need to do a show on all of that, because there's a lot of stuff out there about the different types of CDs and lasers, and it's pretty confusing, and they all make a good case for themselves. We got to try to break it down into understandable chunks for all of us. So
that'd be really great. And I'm just looking for something that's reasonable, you know, 25, 30 years. I look at old film, and some of the old film still looks good, but I wonder what the digital pictures are going to look like in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years.
Well, there are services out there where you could put the onus of keeping your files backed up on a web-based, secured web-based server.
Uh-huh.
And typically speaking, that'll be actively available. Certainly going to be there as long as you're paying your bill. It is a monthly charge, though, so I don't know if you want to go that route, because it would, you know, over 20 years be pretty expensive.
Well, I think your idea of just checking CDs every 3 or 4 years to make sure it's still there and maybe copying them every so often is probably the best idea right now.
Yeah, just maintain a connection with those and check them. Don't leave them for 20 years and expect them to work 20 years from now, because there's all kinds of things that can happen.
Well, there probably won't be equipment to run them in 20 years anyway.
And the best rule, people are always confused, well, do I want them in a cool place, a dry place, a moist place, a hot place? What do I want? Pretty much the good rule of thumb with electronics and media in general is wherever you're comfortable, so is it.
Cool and dry, always best.
Great. Hey, right. Thanks very much for your help.
All right, good luck. And backing up, I don't have the URL. You know what? It's the header of our newsletter. So if you're not a newsletter subscriber, then become one.
And how can I become one, Ken?
DataDoctors.com. Click on the free help section, and you'll see not only where you can subscribe, you can see what it is that we send out. So you could actually get the link to the Data Vault if you were really, really handy by clicking on one of the examples.
There you go. So while we go to break,
yes,
the challenge is out to you.
Subscribe.
If you're not already subscribed, you go subscribe right now. You won't miss any of the show. When we come back, of course, more of your calls and questions. It's the Computer Corner. We'll be back right after this.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and sleep